Hey, men. Dr. Greg Popcheck here with episode 32 of the Bedatitudes podcast. And as always, if you're just joining us new, I'd really encourage you to start at the beginning of the series where we go through the eight Bedatitudes and talk about how each Beatitude can help us be fathers after the Heavenly Father's own heart. But today, what we're going to talk about as we continue our series through the different practices that are part of this liturgy of domestic church life. Last time we talked about work rituals, which are the first set of rituals in the rite of family rituals. And the rite of family rituals is the rite of the liturgy of domestic church life that helps us create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together for two purposes. One, rituals put the pieces of our family life together. Right? They enable us to connect in more meaningful ways by really showing up for each other every day. But even more importantly, family rituals enable us to pass Christian values and a Christian worldview onto our children without having to lecture and preach at them. You know, obviously, active teaching is important. We have to teach our kids the faith and what it means to make good moral choices and those kinds of things. But in order for those things to not seem like lectures, we have to be living it out in our home. And when Christian families create strong rituals for working and playing and talking and praying together, we model a Christian worldview toward all the things that human beings do. So last time I was talking about how work rituals play into that idea of living out our prophetic mission of baptism by calling each other on through words and actions to lead godly lives, especially in our attitudes toward work. So, but today I wanted to continue that conversation and talk about something that doesn't immediately jump to mind, especially for us men, when we talk about work rituals. And that's the idea of emotional labor. So what's emotional labor? So doing a task is only about 10% of the actual task. Right. And you know this, you know, we know this from work, right? Because it's not just about showing up on game day, you know, metaphorically or literally. It's all the practices that go into it. It's all the preparation that goes into it. It's all the scheduling that goes into it. It's all the making sure that it's done right, that we have all the things to be able to do the thing right. And we're used to that when it comes to work or when it comes to sports. We recognize that it's not just showing up for the game or showing up for the project. There's a whole lot of stuff that's part of that. On the home front, though, we tend to really struggle with that. We think that we're, quote unquote, helping our wife by showing up to do the stuff she tells us to do. And, you know, when she complains that we're not doing enough, he says, what do you mean? Just tell me what to do. Right. And or if she's resentful after we've done the things, like, well, you're never happy. No matter what I do, you're never going to be happy. I do everything you tell me to do. What more do you want? And what's really the problem in those situations is the lack of emotional labor. Now, as I said, doing the task is only about 10% of the task. The other 90% of the task is identifying that the task needs to be done, you know, making a plan for getting it done, gathering the resources to make sure it gets done, scheduling the time to make sure it actually happens, supervising the task to make sure it's done well, and making sure that we're continuing, you know, that the thing stays done once it is done. So how do we make sure that all happens? And that's really what we're talking about here with emotional labor. Very often, not always, but very often, it's the mom who's responsible for all of the emotional labor on the home front. And that's true even in families where there are two career families where the mom is working outside the home. We've just been socialized to think that it's the woman's responsibility to do the emotional labor, and it's our job to show up when we're told to do something. And that's really not the Christian view of household labor. That's actually, you know, a view that just came on the scene with the Industrial Revolution. Because this idea of, well, let's just stick with this. But before the Industrial Revolution, families lived and worked at home. They did all the stuff together, right? And sure, you know, men maybe were responsible for handling some of the heavier work on the farm and those kinds of things. But really, when it came right down to it, you lived in a two-room house and you did stuff together. And only when the Industrial Revolution came and dad had to go and work in the factories, that's when suddenly mom became the sole proprietor of the household. So, you know, this idea of a Christian worldview toward work doesn't just involve doing what we're told. It involves engaging and seeing what needs to be done. So we talk about this as the third practice in the rite of Christian relationship: prompt, generous, consistent, and cheerful attention to each other's needs. That has to do with the mindset that says, I'm willing to do whatever I can to take care of you and to show up for you and to attend to the things that need to be done so that it's not all falling to any one person in the house. You know, and as the father, and we talk about this a lot in the Beatitudes, it's you know, the idea of being the head of the household doesn't mean that I get to dictate the terms by which everybody lives or become the executive decision maker in all things. It means that I facilitate the process by which godly decisions are made in the house. You know, I take the lead in making sure family prayer is happening. I model discipleship in my home so that I can be an example and a witness to my wife and my children what a servant of God looks like. And so this idea of emotional labor, as fathers, we need to take point on that. We need to make sure that we are buying in to the stuff that has to happen to make our households run well, that we are encouraging our children to buy in. So when I say buy in, I don't just mean do what mom tells all of us to do. I mean to look around and see what needs to be done and make sure that we're helping to make a plan for getting it done. You know, when I was a scout, one of the things that they taught us was you always leave your campsite better than you found it. And we've adopted that idea in the liturgy of domestic church life in two different ways. The first way is by making sure that you leave any room that you're in better than you found it. You know, so when you're walking through the living room, can you put that coffee cup away? When you're walking through the kitchen, can you, you know, wipe up the sink before you leave? You know, when you're going through the bedroom, can you make sure that your socks are in the laundry? You know, not just on the floor. What can each member of the family do as they're walking throughout the house, making sure that they're leaving each room a little better than they found it? You know, that doesn't mean you have to do something every time you walk through, but you're aware. You're looking around and saying, is there something small I could do to make this a little bit better than I found it? Second way that plays out is with people. Am I leaving the people I encounter a little better than I found them? You know, by smiling at them, by offering to help, by offering to get them something, by giving them a hug, by giving them a word of encouragement. How can I leave this child, or how can I leave my wife a little better than I found them? And, you know, in modeling that spirit and encouraging it, both of those things have to do with emotional labor, because I'm cluing in to both the emotional and the practical needs of my household and my family. And I'm looking, what small ways can I make a contribution here? What am I doing that I can make a difference and leave this place or this person better than I found them? And then I want to make sure I'm encouraging my kids to do that too. So, you know, a lot of times we do feel a little picked on as guys because we're helping out. You know, we do whatever our wife tells us to do. We're generous and we really try hard to be available. But, you know, unless she specifically tells us what to do, we're just sitting around. You know, we're on the internet, we're watching the game, you know, we're doing our thing. And then, you know, we don't understand why she's resentful or angry because she has to tell us what to do. And I'm certainly not saying this is true for all men, but I think we can all use a reminder, men and women, that it's not enough for the Christian person to be told what to do. The Christian person really needs to tune in and recognize what needs to be done and how I can use this moment to build the kingdom of God. You know, making sure our socks and underwear are in the hamper is part of building the kingdom of God. Making sure that the dishes are being done, you know, and that we're playing an active role in making sure that they're getting done, not just by telling our wife to do them or telling our kids to do them, but by taking the lead and making sure it happens. That's building the kingdom of God. Making sure that the rooms are cleaned well, you know, because we're taking the lead and making sure that they're being cleaned, you know, and that we're inviting our kids along to do that too, you know, and not just sitting on the couch and issuing orders, but taking the lead and setting the tone of the household. That's building the kingdom of God. You know, building the kingdom of God means primarily doing what we can to cooperate with God's grace to undo the damage that sin does to our relationships with each other. That's what building the kingdom is, because the kingdom is built on relationship. It's not about necessarily doing big things for Jesus, right? The church builds hospitals and schools and social institutions so that it can serve these relationships. That's why it does them. because these are things that families can't do necessarily to improve their relationships. So the church builds these social structures and institutions to help facilitate those relationships. But it's still, the goal is relationship, not tasks. And so the same thing is true in our households. Anytime we do the emotional labor, we're undoing the damage that sin does to human relationships on that atomic level by combating selfishness. You know, we don't do the emotional labor because we're selfish, either intentionally selfish or cluelessly selfish. We don't tune in. We're focused on ourselves and our own concerns. And that's sinful, right? That's the sin of sloth. Sloth isn't necessarily laziness. It's the checking out. It's the, I don't feel like doing anything about this problem that I see or this challenge that I'm in front of. It's not engaging, right? And so when I'm not aware of the emotional labor, I'm leading a slothful life. I'm not cluing in to the things I can do to build the kingdom, to show up for the people that depend on me, and to buy in to the stuff that needs to be done to make my home and the relationships in my home work as well as they need to so that they can give glory to God. And so, you know, I just wanted to highlight this idea of emotional labor, that it's really the heart of work rituals. You know, work rituals can't just be about the task. It's got to be relational and not transactional. When I say that, what I mean is a transactional is just, let's get the thing done and then we can, you know, get a goodie for it in some way. You know, I do the task, I get a reward. I do the task, we play a game. Whatever, you know, that's fine, but it doesn't really get at the heart of it, where, you know, emotional labor is the relational piece of the work ritual, where we're recognizing this is how we show up for each other. This is how we take care of each other. This is how we're present to each other. So just a gentle nudge to all the guys out there, that part of, you know, being a father and being the head of the household who is leading the celebration of the liturgy of domestic church life means cluing in to the emotional labor involved in building an orderly, peaceful, and joyful household. And although I'm focusing on this in the work rituals, this applies to play and talk and pray rituals as well. You know, making sure we're not just checking off the boxes and doing the task, but really attending to the heart of the task, whether it's work or play or talk or playing together. Well, thanks for tuning in. And if you have questions about emotional labor or how to make this work in your home, I'm happy to take them. Just post your questions to the Home Builder Forum and the Catholic Home app, and I will continue the conversation there. Thanks, guys.